Thanks so much for joining us online today. We're always encouraged to hear stories of how lives are being changed by the message of grace all around the world from what we do right here in Longwood, Florida. So if you have a story you'd like to share with us, please send it to stories@graceorlando.com. If you'd like to support the mission and the ministry of Grace Church, you can give conveniently online at graceorlando.com. Thanks so much again for joining us today.
First of all, happy Mother's Day.
I almost said thank you.
Why not?
Yeah, that's right. She wouldn't be a mom.
I'm not going to deny I've been called that word. Maybe it had once or twice in my life. Okay, moving right along. I've been called many, many things. So I have a question for you. I'm going to ask it, then we'll pray, and then we'll dig into a little bit. Do you recall a time, or are you in a season, or do you remember a season where you were on fire for God, like where you're just hot, red hot, you know what I mean? We're just, okay, so first of all, thank you, Daddy. Thank you that we get a chance to just chill with you and celebrate you pouring out your truth, your love, you pouring out your desire to be in oneness with us, your enthusiasm for us to live life to the full. So I thank you. We get to magnify that as we explore it together. And I thank you that you have something for each and every person that's here this morning. And so we say yes and amen. I invite people to think about that real quick and choose with me to say yes and amen to what you have, because your answer back to us is yes and amen. So thank you, God. Okay. So, anybody remember a season? Maybe in that season? So what I'm curious to know is when you are in that, let's say, red hot. Oh, red's not going to work for us. That would have been really like color coordinated. Red hot, on fire for, what are some of the things that go along with that type of a season? Okay, energy. What else?
I'm looking back, I remember immaturity.
When you're on fire for God, when you're red hot?
Immaturity, because we were...
Okay, so you get to be a kid. Okay. Immaturity, can I say, be a kid? Childlike? Okay, awesome. There's something awesome about that, no question. Don't have to have all the answers, just childlike. Do you want to spend more time or less time? Never get enough. That's even a better way. Thank you. Can never get enough. And never get enough manifests how? So what are some of the activities that go along with that when you're on fire? Seeking him. Okay. Seeking. How are some of the ways that you seek? More time in the Bible or less? Right. Bible. Praying, watching stuff online, listening, praying, right, praise, journaling. Anybody find a season journaling? So praise and worship, we'll say. You find yourself probably listening to more or less Christian music? More, okay. So worship, so how do I do that's upside down, sorry. So... online, radio. Okay, we got the picture, right? So whether you're in that season now or whether you've been in one, no one had any challenge with associating it being a time where you were hot for God, right? You were on fire, okay? Has there been a season that you can ever recall where you felt less than hot? So we'll say cold, where you were just, and so what did that look like? How was your energy level about your faith and your intimacy with God? Okay, so that was down. Were you childlike? Playful? Down?
Just more tantrums.
Even if you wanted more, you didn't know how to get there. Ever? Can you relate? You know he's right there, and yet you don't feel like, okay. Are you seeking them, or do you find yourself seeking some series that, okay, or whatever that can just distract you? Are you reading the Bible as much? No. Are you praying as much? Are you worshiping as much? Are you praising? Look at these bills. Praise these bills, right? Journaling, right? Okay, so anybody see Princess Bride? Okay, Princess Bride. Sorry, the movie The Princess Bride. Okay, first of all, you have an assignment. The two of you need to watch Princess Bride. Okay, first of all, so that you're not put on the terrorist list, but the Patriot Act, because if they ever hear or find out, so in case this is being caught by the NSA or FBI or whatever, they're not terrorists. But if you haven't seen Princess Bride, you're in question as to whether you were, you know, living in America in the last, I'm kidding. But it's worthy. It's worthy. You'll have fun. Princess Bride. It's worthy. How many people agree it'd be worth seeing, right? Okay. So, Princess Bride.
I have it at home if anybody wants.
Okay. So, it's just a fun movie, but there's a character in there. Let me see if I can find the meme so you can actually see it. When I say meme, do you know what I mean by meme? In case those of you are as old as I am, meme may not be something that has a whole lot of meaning to you, but memes are where they take a picture or some visual illustration and then put a quote over it that helps to illustrate something. So they're distorted, not necessarily a cartoon. So this is the picture of a person. But I like them because I like the visualization of something. It captures something well. So it is the gentleman from Princess Bride. And there's a part where another guy in the movie constantly says, inconceivable, right? Inconceivable. He just keeps saying, and the guy finally goes, you keep using that word. I don't think you know what it means. I don't think it means what you think it means is how he says it, okay? Anybody ever heard the term lukewarm? In what capacity? So it says in Revelations, right, that I will spew you out. Anyone want to be spewed out by the mouth of God?
That's offensive.
I'd rather that you'd be cold or hot, but lukewarm, I spew you out. So how many are willing to admit that the concept of being lukewarm is not, never felt good, that you have concern? The church, however, needs to hear this guy saying, you keep using that word. I don't think it means what you think it means. So look at how even we, our flesh, is different than our spirit. Our flesh looks at it linear like this. If I'm not red hot, I must lack energy for God. I must not be childlike. I must not ever be spending enough, desiring enough time with Him. I must not be seeking Him. I don't want to be time in the Bible. So I must be lukewarm. I've lost my red hotness. Oh no, I'm going to be spewed out. Get it? Get how the flesh works and wants to look at it as a judging whether you're doing good or bad? So if you're not here, how many people admit you'd rather be here? Okay, so rather here because you love being here, or rather here out of fear of being there? Wouldn't you admit it's both? And we're trained more to focus on what the judgment of I'm doing good instead of bad. Yay, smiley face on the top of my test paper. Please. Okay. Awesome.
Okay, so can I ask a question?
Sure.
So are you doing that from a feelings perspective? So you're saying when you feel like you're in that cold.
Yes, I feel down, I don't want to go anywhere. I've been like that lady, I just don't want to do anything, I stay home. So, but I pray God, please take this feeling away from me. Mm-hmm. So I don't feel this way.
Awesome. Well, it's normal, and the beauty, I am going to capture the word feel, and we'll come back to it in a second. because when you're choosing, when you're not here and you're here, there's something that doesn't feel right. But do we focus on the feeling or do we focus on the behavior? We feel bad because we're not behaving right, and we start trying to think, I should spend more time in the Bible. Anyone ever been in one of those periods where you know you should and you just can't even, it's like it's too heavy to open. You go and it's like, it's just across the room. But to get there feels like you'd have to fight the fire swamp from Princess Bride to get there. It really does. You know there's truth and life in it, and you're like, arg, and you go into the cave, and it's right outside of the cave door, but you don't want to because of the performance. The flesh is measuring. The flesh is fighting. And so in Galatians 5, we're going to go there in a minute, it talks about the very battle between the flesh and the spirit. The flesh is the one that wants to behave good and get a smiley face on the top of your test paper and not behave bad, avoid behaving bad. But at the same time, the flesh wants to behave bad because it wants to be alive and it wants to feed its cravings. It's neither good or bad. It just wants a stimulation. My hand wants to touch. It's made to touch. My mouth wants to taste. My nose wants to smell good things, but right, or bad things. You ever smell something bad? You go, oh, smell this. Right? Why do we do it? Why do we do that? It's just, but in all seriousness, it points to, it illustrates the nature of the flesh. It's neither good nor bad. It wants to be alive. Feed me. It wants to eat the apple on the tree. It wants to debate with the serpent saying, surely you will not die. That was the flesh that the enemy was taunting. And I would suggest to you what inspired me from the Holy Spirit in looking at today is that this word lukewarm, that does not mean what the man's religion has led us to believe it means and has so overused, that it is one of the apexes, like the front charge strategy of the enemy. It's to satiate the flesh and continue to have it focusing on performance rather than performance. Everyone puts the second letter before you put the first letter, right? Like I just did. Why I did that, I don't know. Performance. Performance versus feeling. So performance versus feeling. So the great news was what we just heard someone say is when you're feeling cold, not hot, red hot for God, fortunately you don't like the feeling, but instead of trying to fix it by performing, you're allowing yourself to feel it and be in touch with what's the real answer. And that you gave voice to the fact that you start to practice things that you know warm your heart. It's not, I need to be red hot so I can be with God. It's, God loves me and is with me, and I'm going to focus on that and not worry about whether I'm hot or cold. This is a lie. You cannot be measured hot or cold anymore. Christ is in you. John 17, where it talks about the miracle of this whole thing, is Jesus saying, I am in the Father, the Father is in me, and we are in you. So you're no longer measured lukewarm. I realize it can go on to be read where it says, there's things that taken out of context can literally cause you to believe there could be a consequence for behaving this way. Where we're going in Galatians, it'll talk about this fruits of the Spirit and the fruits of the flesh. And in doing so, there's a part where he says, if you practice these fruits of the flesh, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Anybody ever hear that and feel concerned, feel fearful? First of all, red alert, If you're feeling fear, what does it say about love? In case you're not aware, it says perfect love casts out all fear. So please, first of all, if you feel fear about anything, dismount. It doesn't matter what you go, but I want to get to the bottom of it. I want to know the truth. You can't. If you're in fear, you're out of love. So whatever it is you're interpreting, whatever you process in those moments, you're in a state of fear. You're not, therefore, aligned and receiving his love. So you cannot possibly interpret this correctly. You cannot possibly receive what, there's nothing you need to figure out. Fear will cause you to go, I got to understand. I better figure this out. What do I do? What do I do?
It's very interesting that the red hot side, if you really look at a lot of those things that are up there, I can only speak for myself. You know, when I used to do the seeking and all of that stuff, there was this part that really was just so, it was from such a place of a lack. You know what I mean? Why am I seeking so hard? He lives in me. He's there. You know?
Yeah.
So now my perspective is different. And even some of, like, I used to think, like, I just need to pray all day, praise and worship, like, whatever, all day, just to shock me back into the place that I remember, you know, like I have that memory of what it was like to be in that space. And so I was trying to manipulate.
Sure. And it's unfair.
I think that's what you're saying, too, but.
Only part, there's, so in this case, I'll just say this is unfair. I wouldn't interpret as assuredly as I will here because I happen to be in oneness with the person that just shared. I want to hear it, I do. So first, the idea was just to highlight what we have been led to believe is the difference between being red hot and cold. What I understand Beth to be saying is in those seasons of red hot where we are hungry to seek, still, because of the performance-based mindset, seeking became this thing that we, yesterday we got together and worshiped at our house with a bunch of friends and we felt his presence. Let's seek deeper. Wait, he's not here. Maybe he's over there. Oh, wait, let's run. He must be in Redding. Let's go to Bethel. Must be there. Oh, wait, Jesus Culture's in Cincinnati today? He's there, right? We would go to events and this and that, seeking. So it might have been born out of the feeling was the desire to be in oneness with him, to be with him. But the performance veil, the flesh leading instead of the spirit leading, resulted in us needing to satiate something. So I okay.
I felt that I was lukewarm was because, you know, I was searching the Lord, but then I did search him, but then I didn't, you know, so then I was like comfortable. And lukewarm to me means like you're comfortable where you are, you're not on fire, but you're comfortable just once in a while praying, once in a while reading the Bible, once in a while doing the what's on the left. And it was just, you know, it was like you're in a roller coaster. And I felt like that meant that I was.
Yes, so what's different? So are you saying there's something different now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I don't want to be comfortable. Comfortable means, you know, I know that now it's like, I'm not doing all that, but I'm still on fire because I have this assurance.
Okay, good. I thought I was going to have to unwrap a special Mother's Day present from you. That's beautiful. I want you to know what was going on. One second. I want you to know the inner dialogue was with me and God was, Dad, really? Can I speak as if I'm you? Am I supposed to in this? I thought you were saying now, I'm not seeking this, but I also don't want to be comfortable. And I'm not kidding. The Holy Spirit was going, yes, I want you to say to her, your father wants to give you a Mother's Day gift and say that I want you to be comfortable. Comfortable is okay. It is okay to just be comfortable. So says Daddy. Not by right, but fortunately you're saying, I'm comfortable here, I'm comfortable here, I'm comfortable here, I'm comfortable in the easy chair. And sometimes it may feel like I can't get enough, and sometimes it's watching my favorite program or whatever. It's no condemnation. It's no condemnation. It's no condemnation. But look at the beauty. Thank you. Just flipping the meaning of lukewarm used to be condemnation, and now that's not even in the picture. So I'm sorry. There was a comment here and then. So it just flows from the inside out. That's where we're headed in our wrap up. So thank you for sharing. I'll come to that in a second. Yes. Gold-plated toilet paper. No. Cut tape, we're all going to the bathroom. Awesome. That's awesome.
He's doing it.
Just what you need.
Oh, yeah. Right.
He's
and
doing
I
it.
Need home because I can't cat.
Oh.
So
you need a home
please.
For your cat.
Yes.
She's got a new place to go to. It's wonderful. It's affordable. It's a gift from God, but she needs to sell her stuff because the place she's going to is furnished, and she's got two cats that need a home because she can't.
So if anyone needs a home for two cats, or if anyone's having a barbecue this afternoon and likes cats, for those of us who don't like cats, sorry. If you cook them just right, make sure to dehair them.
There's a fire ban.
Yeah, yeah. So, let's take a look for a minute at this flesh-spirit thing. And again, the I do not think. You keep using this word, religious people, but I do not think it means what you think it means. It doesn't. So thank you that we all are celebrating the lack of condemnation, but also that the door is open to the fact that it unveiled two different paradigms. One is led by performance. We feel something and we say, what should I do? And that keeps this cycle going. Anyone remember the cycle? Super hot for God. He's all my answers. It's great. I can't get enough. Start to be comfortable. Next thing I know, where'd God go? Can't find him. Don't want to be with him. I know I should be, but, and then nothing seems to start working, and it must be. Now, everything's, you know, at first you can, by the way, we're missing an aspect. Everything's going great. I'm feeling awesome. I'm in the world, loving the world. That must be the problem. And all of a sudden things stop working. That must be the problem. Or everything's working, but I have no joy. Whatever it is, we get sick and tired of being sick and tired. Next thing you know, we finally start some of these practices, but as a do rather than just a be and enjoy. So that cycle comes from going from the fearing feelings and doing something about it instead of feeling the feelings and allowing ourselves to be in the realm of the spirit. It's what Beth was referring to when she said, when there's unshared desires, desires for something to, for more of something, less of something, whatever it is, desires of our heart, you cannot be in relationship. You cannot enjoy relationship without desires being part of it. When it becomes about doing, it becomes expectation. Expectations are either met or unmet, check or uncheck. It's a flesh-based paradigm.
It's not a place of rest.
At all, thank you. It is not a place of rest. And when you start to fall in love, as an example, since it's one that God uses as a pale comparison to the intimacy and oneness, but nevertheless, the comparison, the only comparison he ever points to on the earth for us to understand his love for us as his bride, you start to fall in love. All you want to do is satiate the desires of the person you're falling in love with, and vice versa. And they're meeting your desires. It's awesome, right? That seems like all that matters to them is to find ways to meet my desires, and vice versa. Right? And then all of a sudden we say, I do, and things are great. And that's, and all of a sudden now I just fall back into meeting the desires for her that I have. She must like bacon because I do. So I'm going to make her bacon. Just so happens she does. But whatever, all of a sudden we start to communicate love in our love language, and the things that they used to do that maybe they're not doing today because they all of a sudden I start to expect. And those expectations, when they don't get met, I start to say, what's wrong? Whatever. We're going off on a tangent we don't have today. So you got the idea where we're at. So let's take a look. We're going to go to Galatians 5, which we're going to go down to the in the 20s. But I love the opening of Galatians 5 where it says, and kind of sets the tone for all this, where it says, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Freedom from this lie. Freedom from this performance. Freedom from this hamster wheel that gets nowhere. Freedom, right? And never again will I be put back in the chains of bondage and slavery. He then goes on to say, why do you elevate these things and fall from Christ? Why do you elevate performance? Why do you focus on circumcision? You might as well go ahead and mutilate yourself, he says to them literally. You are mutilating yourself in this. You might as well just get it over with. Instead of going through the cycle, just, you know, so he points out the ridiculousness of it. But I'm going to start at 22.
What version are you in?
First, I'm going to be in New American Standard, but we're going to go to another version as well. I'll start at 19, actually. Okay. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I forewarned you that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. First of all, when did the kingdom of God enter our world? And I'll save time and share. There's at Pentecost, exactly. When the Holy Spirit came to live inside of man. The kingdom of God is the Spirit that was in Christ, the Spirit of God himself, living in you and I. So all he's saying is, in practice, he's not saying you won't go to heaven. If you accept Christ, the Spirit is in you, the kingdom of God is in you. Can you live as if you don't experience that? Can you live in a place of forgetting and in a performance cycle? Yes. But I long for you to be led by the Spirit. I long for you to enjoy the kingdom. I wish that you, it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the keys to the kingdom, it says in Matthew. It says, don't worry. The birds don't worry. The flowers don't worry. They're comfortable. They actually enjoy bearing fruit. They don't try and figure out or seek bearing fruit. And as was shared earlier, when they notice there is no fruit, they don't get caught up. They just go back inside knowing that he is the vine. I'm just the branch. And they find the life force flowing. So I am going to praise him, and I am going to pray, and I am going to worship, even though I don't feel, but not as a behavior. It's because I know that's where my love lives. I know that's so an inside out. Anyway, we're not going to do it today. I would love to, and I'll make it a point to try and remember, to look at those fruits of the flesh that he refers to, because we hear them in our modern language, and we don't consider exactly what's said. So some of them we don't even use in our modern language, like idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife. Idolatry, what does that look like in our everyday life? Each one of these things are practices that the flesh is doing not because it is evil. I know there's places where it points to it as if it's evil. The fruits of the flesh are evil. But the flesh is just a created thing like a salamander or a lizard on the wall. It has an instinct, and it wants to fill. A bug went by yesterday. My son, my daughter, my wife were standing, watching, and he goes, whoa! And a lizard grabbed some big mosquito-looking thing. It was hanging out of his mouth as he's going, and the thing, it was his instinct. He saw it, bam, he got it. My flesh has that instinct, okay? So its nature is to want something you have that I don't have that looks cool. The flesh's nature is to say, if you have it, I can't have it. Do you get it? It doesn't understand the law of the kingdom that says there's unlimited. All my needs, all your needs are met where?
In him.
In the riches
yes.
of Christ Jesus. What are the riches? Are they limited? No. Are there only three storehouses? They are unlimited. It's a different paradigm. But my flesh believes I have to be jealous because it's not a zero-sum gain or however you say it right, but your win is my loss. My win is your loss. So anyway, there's a whole aspect to understanding how this stuff tries to manifest and how the flesh will seek it and continue to manifest it. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. You are not under fear of lukewarmness. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident. It goes on, it says that. Sorry, I went backwards, but I'm glad I reiterated you're not under the law. So, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. I want to stop at those three. Those were the first three. Do you have to do anything with love, joy, or peace? Those come from the inside out. Watch where we go, though. Patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Again, I wish we could do a little bit of word study on each of those, because it's not saying you need to be patient. You need to be kind. You need to be good. You need to be faithful. You need to be gentle. You need to be self-controlled. No, it's the Spirit in you. That's the nature of the Spirit in me. That's its instinct. Just as the lizard bit the bug, my spirit longs to chill and be patient and know He's in control and working all things together for my good. Last time I was here, we talked about Christ washes His bride in the Word. He is the Word, but He also washes us with the words of this book that say, I'm working all things together for your good. I will never forsake you or leave you. The enemy is under your feet and my feet. He cannot touch you. Yes, there may be light and momentary troubles in this world, but you are not of this world. Those light and momentary troubles may get some mud on you. You may feel pain. You may not have $500 one day and then show up to the bathroom and $500 will be there. The day before you didn't see the $500. So you might have had light and momentary troubles, but they are light and momentary. You are of my kingdom. I supply all your needs and the riches in Christ Jesus. Expect it. Get excited about me. Let me know the desires of your heart. Let's live comfortably and enjoy the fullness, the Zoe life that I intended for you, that I long for you, that I died to give you. So the we have 30 seconds. Him and you.
And the litmus test is if you use any one of those fruits and it doesn't match, then you're not walking in the Spirit. That's why I call it a litmus test.
So if that works for you, that's awesome. I want to be careful because I love it, but I want to be careful. If this is what you're actually doing, then that's great. The summary that I didn't get to and we have 30 seconds to get to is don't be afraid to feel. You're saying litmus test. If I'm feeling something, don't be afraid to feel it. What am I feeling? The very thing that caused this cycle was I'd feel the feeling wasn't good. So I would try and fix it instead of just feel it and go, Daddy, I don't feel like reading the Bible today, and I'm not going to try.
When you don't face your feelings, that's what throws you into that cycle.
Into performance, into fix it, into flesh. We elevate the flesh.
What I'm saying is that if I go by my feelings, it doesn't pass the litmus test.
But that's okay. Why wouldn't that be okay?
Because we don't want to dwell on my feelings.
But feelings are here for a reason. Mm-hmm. Feelings say to you, to your soul, your mind, your will, and emotions, that you are either thinking thoughts that are in alignment with the finished work of Christ or they're not. But you have to know. Awareness. You have to know. God's people perish for a lack of
knowledge of Him.
Exactly. And what is Him? The finished work. That's the only thing you're called to do.
Correct. Yes. Yes.
That's why I said, for you, I got a sense, because I know you well, I got a sense that it, for you, it's opening, that it's just the language could have caused someone to think, I'm not feeling kind. It's a litmus test. I must be out of alignment. You just said the same thing, which is beautiful. Right. Absolutely. So we have to honor the worship team. I love it. I wish we had another hour because it's good stuff, isn't it? Thank you, Jesus, that you're good. Thank you that we're free from this lie. Remember, next week, no class. Come 9:30 for service. Bring your beach jammies and whatever, and we'll have a great time. Love you, Jesus. Thank you. Amen.